Okay, or okie, okie, okie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I think I know what you're saying.
I don't think you do. But yeah, hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Unfixed. And wait, what's that familiar voice there? What's the deal with that familiar voice? That's not Andy Dufresne from last time, no.
No, not the charming Andy Dufresne. This time, it's Toby Hallam.
Toby Hallam is back, and he's come over from Newcastle. Toby, thank you so much for traveling all the way from your new home in Newcastle.
Yeah, I just flew in from Newcastle, and boy, are my arms tired.
Boom, and sure, of course.
I've been waiting to say that one for a while.
That was... Okay, you had that in the chamber for a while? That was incubating. All right. I can't wait to see what comes out of your potty mouth. So yeah, yeah, you flew over from Newcastle just today.
Yeah, yeah.
For the show.
To
do Unfixed
just
Live.
Just this afternoon.
Yeah, so you came in, you went to the pavilion, you saw some old friends at Trinity, and then you came here. And now we are here, and we're back, we're doing the show. Toby, it feels like we haven't skipped a beat.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like I haven't left, except that it's slightly sunnier, and that's all right.
And the days are about, 30% longer than they were when you left, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy how fast it transitions. Is Newcastle much less north? And therefore, the days are a bit more even in terms of the winter versus the summer?
It's a fraction further north, and so the days are long like they are
Oh, it's
now.
Actually worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, great. So you're screwed. Is the weather any different, Toby? Is the weather patterns?
Not so much different. I have noticed that...
We went in May.
Here in Ireland, the weather does tend to change. Like, you get the weather sort of patterns being pushed over. But in Newcastle, they tend to be sort of... They just sit there. If you can have rain, you can have rain. If you can have sun, you can have sun.
I appreciate that, personally. I want that. I want to be able to tell what's going to happen. That's the thing I don't like about Ireland's weather the most. But there's many, many things I do like about Ireland. And there's many things I like about today. Because with us as the guest today... on Unfixed, Toby, the Session Moth Martina, that's Karen Glennon, also known as Kaza Glennon, also known as the Session Moth. Marth. You said the Session Mouth. The Session Mall.
Session Mall, that's what I thought it was initially.
You said you were going to the OTT events. OTT is, of course, the wrestling league here in Dublin, and you had said you thought it was the Session Mall Martina, and mall is apparently slang for...
Like a gangster's chick, like a gangster's mall. That's what I had in my mind.
She was the gangster's boyfriend, and the gangster was parties.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Drinking sessions.
But apparently it's like the moth to the flame.
A moth to a flame.
We have the flame today. It's the session here.
We are. It is the
at Unfixed.
Today is the session on Unfixed. And like a moth to a flame, she has come. She might actually be at home here because we have carpet moths here in the abandoned bar. So we have real moths. We've got metaphorical and analogous moths. And I'm looking forward to having her on. We've been trying to organize it for some time. I reached out to her through our previous guest, Peter Farrell, aka Justin Shape.
One of our best shows ever.
I agree with you. It's certainly our most listened to show, I'll tell you that. And he did the handoff, the reach around, I think they call it.
It's a wrestling term, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, that's new slang. Oh my God! Speaking of new slang, Toby, we're gonna bring some segments to you. Just for the listeners to understand, though, Karen's got a busy day ahead of her, so she's got to come in fairly early.
She's been pushing.
Yeah, like Jörg Stegmüller. I asked her what time would be okay to start, and she pushed back. She's an assertive young woman.
Absolutely, as you would expect and hope from a wrestler.
Absolutely, and she's in the middle of controversy? Controversy?
Controversy?
You say controversy, I say tomato. Yeah, she's some stuff's brewing on Twitter. It's all actually pretty funny stuff. I'm looking forward to getting into that. She wrestles for a bunch of promotions. I know her from the OTT wrestling here in Dublin. The premiere of you've been many times.
Absolutely, I've been along,
and it's always a lot of fun. And we're going to talk to her about all things wrestling and etc.
Yeah, yeah, she's a wild international wrestler nowadays.
She is. She's been to Canada. We're going to get into all that. Other than that, Toby, what can the listeners look forward to expecting in the show before and after Karen?
Well, there's some classics coming up. There's as we always have the news update from Southeast Ireland.
Southeast Ireland update, and that is coming up.
Real news from the people.
That's right.
There's the publisher is gonna give us a bit of his talent.
Yeah, he's a wacky guy. I'm publishing a book. He leaves me voicemails. I don't play them. I don't listen to them. I play them on the air on this show. It's because he's funny to hear him talk.
That's right. That's right. He's our product, and he should be the world's product. Like there should be publisher the show.
You want him to be more prolific. Well, the thing is, I think if he found out we were playing his voicemails that he leaves for me on the air, he would stop interacting with me. So, yeah. So we've got the publisher coming up. What else can the listeners look forward to this evening?
There's the scary news.
Ooh, that sounds frightening.
Speaking of scary, there's also some dark history that I have to talk about.
Yeah, and Pet Sematary, hopefully, as well.
Oh, yeah, Pet Sematary. We're going to have that.
I think, and that's scary, sort of.
Yeah.
It's more tragic.
There's a general scary sort of theme. We really fire up around Halloween in this show.
This is true.
Going for a walk?
Going for a walk. That's going to happen, too. Right now, I'm going to play the voicemail for my wacky, quirky, nervous in the service publisher, and then we're going to get Karen in here, and we are going to go ahead and interview her so she can get home. She's got a lot to do today. You know what I'm saying? So here's a voicemail from my wacky, quirky, nervous in the service publisher here on the show today, Toby. Do you have any thoughts about what's been going on?
Well, he's been going from strength to strength, the publisher. So,
he has.
I don't know. We were talking about it before. Maybe I think he needs. I think he needs to sort of you know find a bigger audience.
Yeah, I know. We think if we need to be make it his own podcast. Anyway, here is my voicemail from our wacky, quirky, nervous in the service publisher, Toby. And then we are going to get Karen in here and get her on her way. Okay, here we go with the publisher. All right, does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Adam, this is your publisher, Adam. How you doing there? Adam, I'm calling to report that, Adam, to report that your book has been published, Adam, and it ships tomorrow. It's printed and it's ready to go. Congratulations, we did it. But unfortunately, because of the extreme haste and the Keystone Cop style shenanigans there, it's not quite what we envisioned. First of all, Adam, the title was truncated. The title of your book now reads, The Adam T. Jensen. Yeah. And on the back cover, we do have your photograph. But unfortunately, the byline there, for some unknown reason, is Mark Douglas. Yeah. Inside of the book, the first 20 pages are blank, and then the book begins with a list of regrets, Adam. Regrets. Not smiling enough, contributing to local warming, tricking old men. I don't remember seeing this before, Adam. Is it odd for your book? Well, perhaps it is. But when I took the advance copy to the POMO editor there in the hospital, however, he clapped like a seal. So we went through the rest of it just to see what happened. And after the list of regrets, we move right into the chapter called Numbers I Don't Like, which is a pretty weird, because basically, Adam, the book opens with blank pages, followed by a long list of regrets, followed by a numbers list with occasional short reasons, of what your problem is with a given number. But it's worse than that, because for some reason, Adam, the printer numbered the numbers. So we get things like 1, 5, think you're a slick badass, but you're not. 2, 145, socially awkward and self-important. 3, 2. By this point, Adam, the reader is definitely starting to feel the want of some prose, some guidance, or at least, some orientation about, for example, who are you? Why are you talking to me? But the POMO editor says, don't worry. So, at his urging, actually, we did go with the multimedia version. Yeah, so that's exciting. And that means you can put the book on your table, plug it into an external speaker, and it will play audio of a voice actor reading the book. And the pages flip automatically via a special mechanical finger. I guess it has a night light, too, in there. But, Adam, because we never got around to recording that, it'll have to be a software update later. So, basically, people will plug the book into the internet so that the internet can upload the audio recording to the physical book. Yeah. The bad news, though, is that about 80% of the books, Adam, got infected with the WannaCry virus. So plugging the book into a computer will actually destroy the computer. So for the time being, Adam, we have a sticker over the USB port, which says, under no circumstances, connect Tom computer. Yeah, the printer put the M on there by mistake, but at least we know that readers named Tom, yeah, should be okay. We're trying to avoid a lawsuit here, though, Adam, is the thing, and so, you know, we can't fix the firmware because of the architecture of the North Korean chips that we used. Yeah, but I'm talking with the tech guys right now, and they're suggesting shipping the book along with another book, which would serve as a sort of a bridge patch there. So the reader would plug your book into this other book and then plug that book into the computer, which would then upload the audio, which we haven't recorded yet. But they don't have a solution for the bugs in the mechanical finger yet, which in my case stopped working and froze in an obscene gesture. But the POMO editor says that's a feature, not a bug, so... Adam, we're going to go with it and see what happens. We don't have much of a choice now. We'll wait for the reviews. I would like to apologize for this. Yeah, but you deserve a fair share of the blame yourself there, Adam. I'll talk to you soon.
To listen to your message again, press 1. To save it and move on.
Oh, my... Toby, I'm going the way the book is getting published, Toby.
Yeah, and the publisher was having similar problems to us tonight.
Yeah,
He had some tech guys. Adam, where's the tech guys?
I do everything. Okay, so we're going to bring in our guest without any further delays, and we're gonna talk all things wrestling, Toby.
Wrestling. Since early childhood, I've been a fan of wrestling.
Okay.
I remember the days of Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Sure you do.
And I remember...
Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Absolutely.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Okay, we're going to bring Karen in, and we're going to bring Karen in right about... No. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
I'm glad I had
that too. In keeping with all of those celebrities.
And we'll be right back with Karen Glennon. Toby, we are here with none other than the Session Moth, Martina, a.k.a. Karen Glennon, a.k.a. Kaza Glennon, every once in a while. Or maybe not so much anymore, I don't know.
Straight from...
You killed Kaza, did you?
Well, no, I'll still do her if needs be, but I would rather not.
You'd rather never go back to that? Because no. She was kind of a cutesy, not to jump right into the interview, but she was kind of like a cutesy face, like a good, like she had like...
I actually
pigtails.
Did it more heel the end. Near the end, I started doing a Kaza more heel.
Just is that true?
Yeah, I guess it was just kind of, I only would do it, once Martina started, I would only start doing it really on kids' shows to kind of wrestle less experienced girls.
Right.
So it's kind of okay. That you would always kind of just be the bad guy. Wait, and kind
this,
of lead the match.
Take a fall. Kids show wrestling? That's
most of it. For almost kids all of it was.
It would be as in kids could come and watch and enjoy. It'd be a family event. We actually have like Main Stager doing a show next week. Main Stage is where I started wrestling since the start and got my first matches there and everything like that. And so I may not be on the one coming up, but I would all like Main Stage is a huge part of like. Just me as a person.
Oh man, that's where you're going to get the merchandising going. Is like kids, they have the money to buy stuff.
They have their parents' money.
Yeah,
well, yeah. That's how it goes.
But I don't see them buying a Session Moth T-shirt with stuff with cans on it.
Coolest
and I don't think I
school.
Want to be the person that's trying to get kids to wear T-shirts with cans on them.
But then that's what Kaza's for.
Or even knowing what a Session Moth is, and rather they just didn't.
That's a good question. I was sort of I had to be informed earlier today. What is a session moth, in your own words.
The amount of times people like,
I got it immediately. The first time I heard it, I knew what it was.
Wrestling over in the UK, that's one thing that they don't have over there is a session moth.
They don't have sessions.
They do. No, trust me, they do. the only thing is like, as in, it's because it's such an Irish term. It's like, it's just a thing that blew up in Ireland a little while ago where it's like, you know, you have your girls that go out in their night, like they all dress up together, they have their blue wickeds, and then they go to the club wearing absolutely nothing and right. they make a state of themselves, they fall around, but they're having the best time while they're doing it.
It looks like it. They don't remember it. But
they don't remember it. They're the ones on the dance floor that are just giving it socks and they don't care because they're so drunk at this point that like, their like knickers are out and they don't care anymore.
That's wicked.
Yeah, but then it's also like the more Martina version would kind of be, you know, so she has that night out and then the next day she's really, really hungover, so she's going to the shop looking for a chicken fillet roll and more cans and anything to eat the hangover and just awake. Go again.
You made a couple of really good videos about that phenomenon of it's the next day. I think there was a really good short video you did in which somebody asked you to go get something or do some task, and what all you did was manage to get cans and go party on Grafton Street, basically.
Yeah, that was actually like the kind of first, the first promo video I kind of did.
Yeah,
I don't know why I did it. I just kind of was like, I really want like a payday video, and so we just did a thing where it's.
Oh,
like,
that's right. It was Dole Day.
Yeah, Dole Day for Martina. I make a joke when I get introduced that I always have a certain amount of kids and I always change the number. Like, I always keep adding to the number.
It's a good gimmick.
Yeah, it's just a joke. Like, again, it's just something that the crowd laugh when they hear it. So it's like, oh, she's got 38 kids. She's got 40 kids. Last time she had 20. What's going on?
Yeah.
It's just a little harmless joke. But, like, so I did a thing where it's like, oh, they were like, oh, we have to go get the kids lunch. All right then. So I just went out and partied and just ran around town.
And you got cans and danced to next to people who were busking and stuff like that.
And tried to steal out of WrestleMania. WrestleMania, yeah. And then I've liked doing like just other videos, kind of capitalize on it. I really like doing videos kind of that aren't necessarily anything to do with wrestling. And if anything, they just kind of give a deeper insight to the person that I think Martina is. I always like look at like Martina's character as in it's very well rounded and there's a lot to it that
fleshed out.
You could actually have her not even in a ring and just running around and being herself and it would be entertaining.
I think you could easily do a TV.
I have an idea to kind of build on that and kind of from that Dole Day promo and kind of other ones I've done. I really want to expand it and kind of maybe do just a Martina Does series, which I think I'm going to take on this year, and just kind of different other kind of music videos again, but just kind of different situations.
There's all this crazy sort of theater in wrestling, and you sort of do those kind of things. And sometimes when I'm sort of going to these gigs, I sort of feel like it gets a little. I can't quite sort of see what's going on these video screens.
That would always be the reason to watch back the VOD because.
Good job.
Some of the get it in there.
We
do actually have our own network starting out
today,
first of June.
Oh,
it's coming
June 1st,
out. Yeah.
Okay.
For like $8. I don't know what that is in euro, but like pretty much you can see all the OTT, but there's going to be a lot of content on it.
It's probably like $7.50. It's very similar.
Yeah.
Right now.
Like, and it's going to be like what OTT won't just give you just the shows, you know, OTT is very good like that. They'll literally give you as much content as they can. Like, that's even with the Embed with Martina. It was just an idea to kind of give you guys another insight to kind of get to know, like, obviously we have these big names coming over. What would you want to know? Like, what do you want to know? Like, when we do go on our car trips, what do you want to know that we talk about?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, because, like, whenever I'm, like, traveling with imports and stuff, I just start talking to them and I don't care what I'm talking about.
Sorry, I just before we launch directly into the content, there may be a listener or something that has no idea what you do.
Okay.
So just for the to introduce you. Yeah, this is Karen Glennon, correct? And you've also wrestled under the name Kaza Glennon and most widely known currently going as the Session Moth Martina, like a moth to a flame, but to a drinking session. She's a city girl. Can we say that?
Yeah, very much so.
And, she's a bit of a dub. Where is she from? Does the character have like a birth location?
The Flats.
She's from the Flats.
Inner city Dublin Flats.
Okay.
Yeah. With Martin and Worky, me, lads from the Flats.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's what she does. That's the gimmick. And you work with a promotion called OTT here in Dublin, and you work with many other promotions.
In Ireland, it's Over the Top Wrestling.
It's Over the Top here, full stop. Does that include Northern Ireland?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I work as Kaza for PW.
Right.
I still go back for Kaza, but no, Ireland primarily will just be Martina because it's my home. So
right, yeah, totally. And you take, but you take the character Martina over to the UK as well. And
every week,
Did you do I read somewhere that you were in Canada. Has that happened or is that upcoming?
No, I'm going to Canada at the end of the month. At the end of the year.
You're international.
Yeah.
You're global.
I've been working with, I've been regular with ICW the last half a year. I've been to Progress a few times. I've been to Fight Club Pro.
Okay, yeah, I think that's what I was thinking when I set up.
Is that in major cities in Canada, or do you, as well as major cities, get to go to crazy cool,
I don't know.
Back of Beyond?
I've never been to that side of the world, ever.
North
even
America?
On a holiday, America, nothing. I think the furthest I've gone might be Fort Ventura, not wrestling, just in general. Mm. And I always thought,
but also wrestling.
Yeah, I managed to get a booking there. No,
in Fort Ventura.
No, I didn't really. but I remember I've always wanted to go to America or Canada or somewhere like that. But I always kind of knew I'd be too lazy to do it off my own.
to get a passport.
Even to just go on the holiday and go through the effort, I just never was obviously other things take up your mind. When you're focused on wrestling, I'm always thinking I don't have time for a holiday. I'd rather, if I get a booking that weekend, I want to take the booking.
Yeah.
So.
Well, sure.
I haven't gotten a holiday.
You're hot. You're fire right now, Karen.
Yeah, I've got a lot of drive. But then obviously there was this whole thing where I got banned in Canada. It was what? I don't know how much of it was a joke or legit, but
Is this to do with work visas?
No. It was just a thing. ICW broadcast on Fight TV, which is aired in Canada.
Okay.
And now ICW are known for their very over the top, they're hardcore.
They're one of those shows.
They really want to be grungy and then they're fantastic.
They do
blood sports. Blood sports, everything like that. But then so they air on Fight TV and the producers, I remember there was a thing, they were doing a podcast and they started going through the ICW show that week. And then they apparently it got to my bit and the producers or the guys that were doing the podcast were like, we absolutely love Martina, but
what
I think what she's doing is a little bit too risky for our TV.
For ICW
that have had a lot worse.
They use razor blades.
Too extreme for blood sports.
Well, the thing is though, now they've had their lads do, and I'm telling you now, a lot worse.
Barbed wire, thumbtacks.
Barbed wire,
that's
everything.
That's horrible.
I'm not even going to say on air some of the stuff.
Oh, but, wow.
And it's entertaining, but because it was the guys doing it, I think it was fine.
That's messed up.
These guys didn't. They just thought what I was doing was a little bit too extreme, which was just the
pulling the condom out of the nether regions,
which is just a play on Mick Foley's Mr. Socko.
It is.
It's literally everything I do is just just a joke. It's my character adapted to other people's things.
Sure,
but I think a big part of it was the fact that I was a female doing it, and you don't get many females that would go that extra edge or would do that kind
Definitely.
Of risky aspect thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't really take it seriously. I don't even know how serious, I don't even think it was serious because ICW never said anything to me about it. I only heard, somebody heard it on a podcast and they tweeted me about it. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm banned in Canada. And I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. But
so I started getting announced as it.
Context thing going on that it's sort of wrestling, ooh, rah, rah, this is sort of a big sort of, masculine, punchy sort of fighting sport. And girls in wrestling have often been sort of somehow marginalized a little bit. And do you feel like you're making some statement pushing back? And you think Ireland's quite progressive in that sense?
I think women in general have gotten so progressive as it is. Women's wrestling has changed so much in the last few years and it's fantastic. And then you do have your women, even on the, especially on the indies, that are just top talents. They're as good as the boys, if not better. Some of my friends, I would say, are some of the best workers, female or not. And every time I'm in the ring with them, I'm like, that girl is unreal. But they may not necessarily have a gimmick or they may not do anything. They just wrestle and they wrestle really, really good. And that's great. I don't wrestle as good as these girls. What am I going to do? I want to do something that's going to make me stand out. And I'm going to do something that just no one's done before. And that's almost have a gimmick that just almost... Mr. Socko with a condom.
What is the sock puppet with a condom named? It has a name.
Mr. Drexel.
Mr. Drexel.
Yeah. But I don't know if that only kind of works in Ireland because
I'm
not sure what they call it.
Yeah, you might want to change it to Mr. Trojan or something if you go to the US.
There's a guy actually in England that also does the move and we don't know who came up with it first.
Ooh. Review
so
the
tape. He calls his Mr. Cocko. Uh-huh. So, and I've worked for the promotion he works for, so I've kind of said, right, I won't do it whenever I'm there.
I think you should have a match for the
But that's thing, a lot of people talk about that. People say that all the time. But the thing is, I hadn't heard of him until well into me doing it.
Right.
And then he'd heard of me. And then when we did meet, he's an absolutely lovely guy. He was kind of like, so when did you come up with it? And I was like, when did you come up with it?
Whenever you, a month before, whatever you say. For sure. Hey, we have a question.
The origin of Mr. Coco.
We have a question coming in from the listening audience. Okay.
Oh, no.
So what was the worst injury you got while wrestling? A two-parter. What was the worst injury you've ever sustained? And what was the worst you've seen happen to anyone else? I guess that means
live,
actually see it happen, not hear about it or something. Because I mean, Peter's injury was pretty horrific.
His was, but like, that's the worst I've heard of. It was definitely just these.
Okay, but
I have seen with your own eyes that
you were just like, oh no, that went wrong.
The worst injury that ever happened to me actually happened on Thursday, just gone, which is ironic. I've been very lucky in that regard. But like, I was doing like a joke match where I was doing really bad lucha.
Okay.
So I did a head scissors.
I've heard about this, Karen.
Yeah. Everyone has today. But I did like a head scissors, but the whole point of the move was like not to finish the move.
Right.
Because the whole joke was like, I think I'm lucha, but I'm really not. I can't do lucha. So, but whatever way I landed, I remember I landed like full on my neck and my shoulder. And it just like instantly, usually adrenaline kind of gets you through everything. Straight away I was like,
this is bad.
I was like, did I break my collarbone, something? I remember like I came back after my match and like Jordan was like freaking. He was like, I genuinely thought something went wrong. He was like, he got a panic attack, he was saying. And
Jordan Devlin,
yeah, because he was on the show with me and he was like, oh my god, are you okay?
Right.
But it was kind of the first match where, you know, constantly I felt it all through the match.
Yeah.
Whereas usually it's kind of like, oh, I might come back
and
oh, something's happened. Like, I've chipped teeth in the ring. I've like hurt my fingers. I've twisted my ankle and broke my ankle really bad at times and all this stuff. But that collarbone one, it's just that it's much better now than it was at the start of the, like at the week. It's just the fact as well that I knew I had like three matches coming up and a lot of traveling before. I remember it was like Friday morning after I woke up and it was killing me and I was like, I don't even get home till Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time in the last few months, and I've been working every week and loving it and so grateful for it. It was the first time I kind of was like, man, I would kill for a break.
Uh-huh.
I just like just one weekend off and just maybe just dial back from wrestling just because it hurt. And I was like, I got scared. Luckily, Fight Club, amazing place, had they hired a physio for the day. So he came and he like just nodded me out and he was like, you're fine, you'll be okay. Just like
nodded you out, meaning gave you a big dose of heroin and you're nodding.
Yeah, and it worked in my match really well.
I performed the best match I've ever had.
Yeah,
it was really fun.
Was. But really fun. So, and I don't know what the worst one I've ever seen is. I think, I don't know. I remember one time at ICW, I saw Matt Cross do this big dive and like he looked like he just killed himself, like, and I think he dislocated his shoulder.
Oh, nice.
As well,
that looks awful. It's not too permanent, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anything that bad, nothing like, you know.
Okay.
Sid Vicious,
like,
or
that,
anything.
I did like that idea of you know, you said you got hurt and the other wrestler said, oh my god, are you all right? Like that you guys are looking out for one another from off stage. You're all sort of, you know, checking out what the other acts are doing when,
well, it is the case of like, you know, we're all in this together and nobody wants anybody to get hurt. It's the worst. Like, genuinely, as a wrestler, getting hurt or getting injured is your biggest fear.
Yeah, sure,
because
it
takes you out of the game. Like, and nobody wants to be out of the game. If you're out of the game, for all you know, you'd be gone in a second. You're, you know, there's always someone else to take
your
place.
World, there's hungry kids.
Yeah. It is a kind
but
of
we are
sport.
We are very supportive of each other as well. Like, say with Jordan and WWE and everything like that. Like, I couldn't be prouder of him.
Yeah.
My trainer, when he went to OTT, or when he went to WWE, with NXT, I remember we were just all over the moon for him.
That's Joe, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I remember like having a leaving party for him, and everybody wants everybody to do really well. I'd hope so anyway, because I always want people to do well. I know, like, every time Kings of the North, I see them getting out there even more, I'm always just like, yes. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, yes, they deserve it. This is what they deserve. They work so hard.
Consistent and awesome. Definitely.
So you're talking about, you know, sort of people that you train with and sort of training and things. I guess that's a good question. How does one get into this kind of sport? How
advice for the kids who are just getting started.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, like,
not for me at all. Not at all.
Well, like, for me, I remember I just, like, obviously loved wrestling and all that kind of stuff. And I remember I met the owner of the main stage school, and I remember thinking, oh, there's no way I could do it, but I love wrestling. And I said it to him one night, I was like, there's no way I would do it, but I'd love to. So just kind of like behind my back, he set up like a training class, and I was like, yeah, okay, fine, I'll give it a go. And I loved it. And then I went to a live show, just like a yet again a kids one. And I remember Pete Dunne. This was like 7 years ago. Pete Dunne as a child was on it. Mark Andrews was on it.
Pete Dunne as a child.
Ryan Smiled as a child. Like, okay. Well, even more of a child, if even.
Wow.
But as in, this is where I'm at Worky there. I'm at Martin there.
No kidding.
There was a few other people there. And I wouldn't have known any of them, but they were all wrestling there. And I was just like, and once I seen a live show, even like if you look at it then compared to now, you would have been like, oh my God, this is terrible. But not the wrestling, but just like everything else, like all the production, everything compared to what we have now. But I was blown away and I was like, I have to do this.
Yeah.
I didn't even think I'd even get a match. I was just like, right, I'm just going to go train. And
yeah.
I'm just like, even fitness wise. And I was like, oh, these people seem really cool. They like what I like. We all like wrestling. Friends. And I didn't make any in the end though.
No, you and Jordan are tight, I understand.
We've been friends since the entire time, but I think this year like we've been starting to travel so much together and we're just having the best time. Like, we're just having so much fun traveling and kind of meeting new people all over like England and making like new friends everywhere we go and stuff like that. We've definitely bonded from that, but like Logan Bryce was with us last week as well.
Nice. Is Logan a good person in person?
No.
He's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy.
He's not
a
nice.
Bad guy, man.
No, he likes lovely. Rugby.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't talk to him about that ever because I'd be clueless.
That's funny.
No, but I really like one of my favorite parts. Like, obviously, I travel a lot every weekend and like I do it a lot alone a lot most of the time. And that can kind of get a bit silky sometimes because you kind of dedicate a whole day. Like, the show times are so fun because you're around people.
Yeah.
And you're having a great time. But then you're kind of on a bit of a crash when you're on your way home and you're just by yourself and you're sore and you're after having such a huge amount of fun that instantly it's going to be a drop.
Right.
But having Jordan kind of with me the last few times is definitely been a pickup. Yeah, because you
airport
just have fun together.
Bars.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. We make the most of it.
How did you know? It's like,
you're talking about the new wrestling, channel, you know, wrestling the paper. It sounds like that's the kind of thing I'd really be excited to sort of see. You know, what happens when you're off stage? How do you engage with each other? It's because I know it was sort of, you know, traveling for work or sort of performing, after the high inevitably comes the low.
Oh yeah But like, again, that's something you kind of just deal with on your own.
Sure.
But
or with Jordan at the hotel bar.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no,
that sounds like a party.
That's when you're still on the buzz, you're still
right,
happy.
Okay,
and then it's like, all right, I'll see you next week, buddy. I'll meet you at the airport at 8 in the morning or something like that, you know.
Show business, man, it's the thing. Hey, we got another
are you getting live questions?
Yes Wow. Yes, we are. So do you feel that people backstage treat you differently because you're female? Do you think that people swear less when you are around?
Oh man, no.
Yeah.
Just a no.
I did not ask that question. That was a legitimate question.
If any of the guys are listening, then they'll be laughing as well right now. If anything, I got treated worse. No, there's. I think at this point, I'm in it so long, and we've all kind of, like, a lot of the boys are on OTT are kind of the Irish guys anyway. Are a lot like they be ahead of me, but they've kind of been with me since I've grown up, and I definitely get treated differently, even from the other female wrestlers. I'm just kind of they definitely don't filter things with me around, and they we have fun. We have a lot of fun. It's always jokes. But there's definitely no sort of,
they don't soften the blows.
There is no way they soften the blows in any way, shape, or form.
No censorship for Karen, Toby.
No,
so you can.
We have a lot of fun. Right, we have a lot of fun, but they can be very. Like, it's almost a competition to see who
that was what I was concerned about, the whole, you know, too much for Canadian television. That, I was worried that she might have said the C word, but apparently...
Canada? Yeah, thank you. Boom. The questions are rolling in. Listen, okay, so, all right. What's next for you? It's hard to follow being labeled a racist, kicked out of Canada, and also having set women's wrestling back for 5 years. And there's a bunch of smiley faces. So it's winky. So yeah, can we just touch on that thing real quick? Because I was actually following that. That was how I started my day today, Karen. I turned on Twitter. I follow you on Twitter. I follow all the OTT fellas on Twitter and everything. And I saw that retweet shitstorm about.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the listeners that aren't aware of this fun.
First of all, I'd actually rather not even say the word racist.
It's like, silly. No, it's that's what the person proposed.
Thankfully, that word wasn't used.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, that word itself wasn't racist. I don't think so. Anyway,
said it wasn't a little bit racist. Having the what was it, El Motho character on without a single Mexican person in the promotion.
Yeah.
Which firstly doesn't make any sense, because if you did have a Mexican person in the promotion, then suddenly that's not racist, even if it were racist.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also not, because if you were to have a samurai character, you would give it a pseudo Japanese name. It was the samurai happened to be Japanese. Luchas happened to be Mexican.
As many people pointed out today, it's like there's been so many characters in wrestling that may not be from their said gimmicks.
Yeah, right. There was a promotion in Pittsburgh, and we had Joey Cuervo, the drunken luchador. He was from Lawrenceville.
That's me. That's exactly what I was.
Right.
That's exactly the character I wanted to do. My whole thing of like El Motto, and I'm so proud of it.
That was hysterical.
I'm so proud of it. I thought of it as soon as I got booked for Lucha Forever. I was like,
because the show was called Lucha Forever.
Lucha Forever. That's exactly it. The whole thing is literally nothing but a play on the promotion's name. Like, it's not a play on the people. It's not like Luchador as a race. I'm going to Lucha Forever. Lucha, Lucha, Lucha. I'm going to go and be a luchador.
Indeed.
But a really, really bad one. Right. Because I can't do Lucha.
Right. And you have blonde hair. You're clearly like...
Yeah. And I'm Ireland. I wear pajamas. So I'm going to have a cape and a really bad mask that keeps falling off.
Right.
That's it. Like, that was a joke. It was obviously... I think one out of a lot of people found it funny. Like, when I woke up this morning, first thing I seen was like the GIFs that Lucha Forever put out, and then Flow Slam put out. And like, I know I've done a good job when I laugh at myself, like when I pop myself, and I looked at the clips and I was like, okay, that's really funny. And I was like, you know, it doesn't happen much because obviously you're very critical on yourself. But I seen these clips this morning, I was like, really proud. I was like, yes, that was good. That's exactly what I wanted to do here. Because in the, like, it was a four-way women's match. I wanted to do something different. I like doing things a little bit different. I like to think that when you book Martina, you're not going to get your average women's match.
Right.
There's always going to be a little bit of a twist to it.
Right.
And that's on, if anything, the incentive, or if you want your straightforward. Well, I can do the straightforward women's. My last match with Alex Windsor was all business, and it's one of my favorites that I've had. So, you know, I like to kind of show that I can mix it up, depending on what you want. But yeah, like, and obviously this one person, I didn't even know about it. Somebody else tweeted me being like,
directed at you, it just said.
No, yeah, I wasn't tagged in it. I wasn't tagged in it or anything like that. Somebody just kind of said, oh, somebody's finding this offensive. Yeah. And I was like, well, show me.
That's what they found offensive. Not like the condom out of your
people found that offensive
too.
That's the thing. It seems to always kind of be a case where there might be one person in about 100 that finds a problem with it, but their voice is kind of louder than the people like, oh, we love it. But then that one person kind of sticks out. But the thing that amazes me, and it's like the setting women's wrestling back 5 years, each time something like this happens, which is twice now, people like kind of jump to my defense, which is amazing. And it still really, really humbles me that people are like, no, you're great, keep doing it, you're doing so well, you're changing things are great. And like, people definitely jumped to my defense today again, and I'm kind of like, it kind of reminds me that, like, okay, I'm glad people like what I'm doing. They're not finding, forget like even the luchador thing, but even just me as a general wrestler and my character and what I'm trying to do, that they still enjoy it, and they're actually enjoying the fact that I'm putting out something a little bit different to the other women, and that I can mix in with these other women and add a new little bit of a spice. Totally. The thing that upset me today now with that was just the fact that, like, again, as I said, it was 1 out of 100 or something that just found a problem with it. And it just, like, it was just, it's like you picked at something. It's like he just had to find something. It's like he looked at something and was like, his mind instantly went to the negative.
Sure.
It's like he could look at it and probably laugh and enjoy it for what it was, but he decided not to. He decided to find a problem. And that's just, it's a small thing on such a wide scale.
That's what people are like these days. It's a thing on the internet. I'm looking for something to be offended about. I'm going to say how right I am nothing.
It's like, I'm just going to be different. And it's just, I'm going to bring this negative aspect into the world right now, even though wrestling as itself, Lucha Forever, all these wrestling promotions, what we're doing is we're putting out something for you to enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully. And of course people fight. Like, you see it, like when Raw goes up every week, sure. People find their problems with that and they think they can book it better, and that's fine. You can go online and you can say what you want to say.
Yeah.
But it's like, we as performers, I know I'm putting out, I put out El Motto as in, I want to have a joke here, I want to have a laugh. Sure. I was really excited about this character and I'm still going to do the character. I love it. Anytime I'm back in Lucha Forever, I'm definitely going to do it. I'm going to keep adding and I'm going to keep adding to
El
it.
El Motto, you're going to bring El Motto.
El Motto is going to, if OTT ever do a, like a Spanish sort of
concerned that somebody would sort of criticize El Motto for being sort of, you know, racist. It's like, if you're coming to something and you're expecting kind of highbrow racial sensitivities where the character is called El Motto, you may be going to the wrong place.
Yeah. Well, it was a surprise. I was meant to be Session Mott, and I
was. Oh, right, so they were coming to the Luchador wrestling.
Yeah,
and
like Session Mott. Session Mott was announced, but I had it, like, Session Mott couldn't make it, so El Motto was.
One of the most popular things in wrestling is suck it. The term is suck it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not
offensive. People still do that this day. Again, it's another playoff, something popular. People still do the suck it sign. Mm-hmm. I do the suck it sign before I do a Bronco Buster. Like,
yeah, that's right.
What's the suck it sign?
It's like it's the G Generation X.
But that's
thing,
it's from the Attitude Era, which everybody loved, and yeah. I think all the adults that love wrestling
Godfather
these days
are
like reminded of the Attitude Era when it was really cool to like wrestling, and nowadays it's cool to like wrestling again because we're giving that sort of edginess back. Like, especially independent wrestling has that edginess, has that like thing that it's for adults, it's not for kids anymore, this is just for you. And that's the thing, El Motto is just a dumb play on that.
Yeah,
it's like, you know,
it's a side
like there could have been an actual Mexican luchador on that show, and I guarantee you we probably would have looked at what I was doing and laughed, because most of the boys backstage when they saw what I was doing, half of them fucking gave me ideas.
Right, okay.
Like, and they're like,
rip on
this.
It,
yeah. Yeah, like, this is hilarious. But most of them found it very, very funny. And I'm sure if there actually was anyone there, they would have found it funny too.
I'd be surprised if you could find a Lucha fan from Mexico who'd be like, that's
I've
bad.
Had the amount of tweets today from people that I actually have. And like, I got a message there before I came on. And someone's like, someone from Lucha Underground is passing on their awesome. Well wishes and that Great. They support what I'm doing. And
fantastic.
I was like, that's so cool.
I think you're on the right side of this. Got another question. I know it's a rapid fire, Toby. We're getting hammered.
Crazy. We've never had anything like this before.
Okay. So is it difficult to keep up with the younger, fitter, more attractive women on the scene? That came from one Peter Farrell.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, that's your answer to that. Fuck you, Justy.
Yeah.
He actually came up. He has one more question for you.
Wait.
He's listening. Oh, you want to answer?
I just want to let him know. My shoulder still hurts.
Oh, right. So did he screw us something up?
No, I'm just saying, just remember that. Like,
okay.
My shoulder hurts.
His shoulder still hurts, you dick. And he's got one more question for you. Is El Motto the terrible luchador ripoff of Justin Cognito? Cognito. Justin Cognito. I apologize. Did he have a lucha character as well? Did Peter Farrell have Justin Cognito, the mask Justin shape? He's also asked a couple other questions.
Oh my
that
God.
I don't think he wants.
Give me another one. No, I want to hear one of them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, this isn't. You asked for it. So why does your vagina smell so bad? And why are you so fat and stupid?
You know when you asked earlier about the do the boys not curse around me backstage? Yeah. That's your answer right there.
Right.
That's exactly what it's like backstage.
I apologize in advance. I did warn you. I feel really guilty though. As being like even a messenger of something. So vitriolic, Toby. That's your fault, Justin. That's you.
Yeah. One of our previous guests, the most vociferous feedback person ever. And see, if only we could get that from the other guests that we've had.
Yeah, no, sure. It's been a dynamic appearance. Sure. Okay. So you're going all over the world. You want to plug anything you're doing coming up anytime in the next like month? Because
well, mainly of course OTT.
Which is the next thing is the OTT the network thing coming out. I do want to talk about
the network
that
thing coming out, and then
also your Sunday the contenders thing.
I won't be there for that.
Right, yeah.
But I will. I'm definitely going to make it my priority.
Lord of the Manor, Paul Tracy is though, so I'll be there.
Yeah,
on
Lord of the Manor
knee,
is
on one knee.
Our favorite fella, Justin Shape, will be there.
Oh,
unfortunately,
yeah.
And unfortunately, he's going to be at Outer Space Odyssey. Sorry again.
Yeah. That's the Stranger Things have happened.
Stranger
thing.
Things. That's going to be absolutely unreal. We're debuting a new Irish tag team, which I think everyone will be very excited about.
Their
highlight video, Two Unlimited.
Yes.
unbelievable. Okay. From their highlight video. I know, I haven't seen them before, but wow.
Okay.
That amazed me. Because that's more Irish
that's not,
people to
that's
get behind.
That's not sold out yet. That's,
no, it's not, which
tickets.
I'm shocked about. Because we've Matt Riddle, Ryan Smile in the main event, Chris Wolf, Kaylee Ray, who, my God, I have been waiting for Kaylee Ray to get to Dublin for so long.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that she hasn't wrestled in Dublin is an absolute, like, it's a disgrace. She is...
She'll make it.
Unbelievable.
Who is the young woman that's very, very popular in the WWE that you have an affinity for, and she has recognized you and shouted out to you?
In WWE?
I thought so. I don't follow the big leagues. I actually just do indie. I don't
Candice LeRae?
Don't
you think it's because she's coming in WrestleRama?
Red hair,
Becky Lynch.
Yes, there you are.
Yeah, no, Becky, amazingly, after Scrappermania, I think she saw my Instagram video and she kind of went through all my stuff and liked it all, which was amazing. And then she sent me a message kind of
encouragement,
telling me she was following my journey and that it's amazing. And it's fantastic. Oh my God, great. Because I remember actually like wrestling with her down in the main stage gym right before she went off to go off to her tryout. Yeah, just like roll around a little bit, but I was just like amazing.
Tell me more. So what were you wearing?
You don't want to know.
I was leopard spot jammies.
No, that was she wasn't born yet.
Oh, I see.
But even getting Becky, like, a message.
I like
me,
how you talk about your character as if she was, my character wasn't born yet.
Yeah, she wasn't born yet. She went straight into like old age womanhood straight off the bat.
But she's literally about 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
She was born at 36 going on 22.
So a whole
kids?
Different to the wrestling, if you're looking for that.
Yeah.
All right, sure. Please, go on, though. So she sent you a message saying, I mean,
yeah,
I'm
just
aware
like
of you,
best
you're on my radar.
No, so it's great seeing what I'm doing. And she kind of just gave me we just had a chat and she kind of like talked to me about a few things. And so we're in contact now.
That's
and
awesome.
It is. It's really great. And she's definitely like
she's
helping
a fan.
Me, helping me and so on. So like... Which is great because obviously, you know, she's the Irish icon for women's wrestling. So
definitely.
It's amazing having that. And then like just like as I was saying to the girls outside, like we have Candice LeRae coming for WrestleRama and she's been my favorite wrestler since I started wrestling. I like absolutely adore her. And I did like a 2-week tour with her about a month or two ago. And I just like I've always loved her. Like she's amazing. And then like I'm so excited for her to come to Ireland as well.
Yeah, great.
She's unreal.
Look forward to that. All right. So, OTT Promotions, of course, got Stranger Things.
Just seriously go to Stranger Things. Like, Chris Wolf is unreal. And half of the guys you have on it, you just don't want to miss it. So good. If Kenny Williams back. Sha Samuels will be back. He debuted in the last show. Justy, unfortunately, again.
Yeah.
Pastor is going to kill him. And there's so much. There's so much, and it's going to be great. Especially, you have to remember as well, for anyone that's going to WrestleRama.
Yeah, yeah. What
like,
is that? That's back
that's
in
August.
Stadium,
that's
correct?
In August, and it's our huge one. So obviously, story starts now, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, come on.
Everything's going to be a build up, everything's going to lead. And OTT never disappoints. So,
never. That
seriously.
Is true. Toby's been out a bunch. You didn't really go to this stuff. I dragged you to it. You loved it. And you've been to many on your own volition.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had to convince you once and everywhere. And Karen, my producer Nina just messaged me saying you prefer actually to be called Kaza casually.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Sorry, casually. So Kaza. I'm not tooting my own horn, right? I'm not tooting my own horn, but every person that I bring along saying you have to check this thing out becomes a repeat viewer. And there's I can spot 10 people that I've dragged to. And I think that's why OTT got so big. People are like, come on, they tell their friends. There's this really interesting and unusual thing to do. If you've never gone to a live event, you have to come see this. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't know this existed. And then they're there every single month.
Yeah, that's what we'd like
to see.
You
see a new face, you're going to see it again. You need a bigger venue, ultimately, because the Tivoli's going to close, so they threaten. So
yeah, well, sure. The fact even that we managed to sell out Scrappermania within a week, which was amazing. Obviously, we had the Elite then, but I guarantee you the same atmosphere for WrestleRama, more, because... Again, we may not have the Elite this time, but we're still going to have all the boys. We're going to... Like, every OTT show is always amazing. And obviously, for WrestleMania... Like, do you remember the entrances from Scrappermania alone?
I think they're emblazoned into my mind. And whenever Martin showed up unannounced, I
had to go
to the bathroom
that was
and clean
unreal.
Up.
It was unreal. And, like, the thing... Like, there's no half measures ever taken with OTT. So even if you're like, oh, I'm not... Like, there's no one on the poster that I'm mad about. Right. Like, don't put it off to that, because there's going to be so much there. There's going to be so much.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to do something. Can we, you know how you I almost forgot, but on your show In Bed With. Right?
Yeah.
I think it's called In Bed With.
Even though
name?
It's never in a bed anymore.
It used to be, though. Because now you have to do it remotely. People that aren't willing to come to your house.
I think my next one is going to be like on a bench.
You can change it
on a wall.
On a boat.
Hugging a pillow. Hugging a pillow with Martinez.
Or just, yeah.
Because the one
pillow
with the
talk
Elite.
And just have that everywhere.
There you go. Good branding. No, the one with the Elite was insane. And
yeah,
Kenny Omega kind of got like sad and a bit distant halfway through. You know what I'm talking?
He's just exhausted. To be fair. He'd been
he
on a 4-day tour,
holding this bay heart shaped pillow.
4-day tour of like planes and everything. I don't blame him.
At the end, when everyone came out, it was all huggy and everything, and then they leveled everybody. It was one of the best things I've ever seen. It was the best thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. Yeah, there's tons of stuff. If people want to check out the promotion, they're not aware. It's what? You go to the Facebook OTT. Just search for OTT Wrestling on Facebook, or there's a website, is there not?
Yeah, there is a website. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Just search for OTT Wrestling on
Instagram,
Google. You'll find
Twitter.
It. You name it. They changed the Twitter handle. It used to be OTT Sideshow. Now it's OTT _ Wrestling.
Wrestling. Yeah, well,
Martina,
makes sense.
Martina, you don't have a webpage, I noticed, I think.
I don't have a webpage, but I've got Twitter.
Who
I've
needs
got-
one?
Yeah, so Twitter, many, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. It's all Session Mutt Martina except for Instagram. But
yeah, okay. it's quarter past nine, and I'm aware that you've got a busy evening ahead
pack.
Of you. So, if you don't mind, Toby, unless you have any parting questions, any lingering.
No, I know. A big salute to our contemporary modern gladiators.
Right. That's the thing. It is quite interesting. Toby actually looks at this as an echo of like gladiatorial blood sports. We've been watching people fight forever, and we're still doing it now.
Yeah, just in a very in a different way. But yeah, definitely.
That's why everybody who sort of comes in and you say you said you draw all these people in and you invite them along, right. and they're like, oh my god, I didn't think
it
I'd love this.
Something
it's
very
like,
old.
It's for a long time we've liked
it's
this kind
theater,
of shit.
Yeah, it's like, but that. Like theater,
it's much safer
that
now.
As well. Yeah,
less dying.
It's just entertainment. That's what people
and
want.
And sure, ancient celebrity. I read a thing the other day that you know, so they were, so in Rome they had the gladiators in the Colosseum and things like that. So there was this one gladiator that they have evidence of that they had found merch, like merchandise.
Oh, awesome.
His name
branding.
And picture drawn
Worker.
On a piece of pottery.
Or stone.
Yeah.
The rock with his
in
name.
In England.
Wow.
Wow.
And so the,
wow,
the reach of wrestling or the reach of this sort of mercenary fighting kind of thing was so huge. And it's like, did he ever travel out there? No, but his name was
somebody
known,
went
so
and they bought a t-shirt and they put it out. And Karen, I'll get my hands. I'm sorry. Right now, I'm wearing the Annie Yokes classic Worky Martin Latch from the Flat shirt.
Devastated.
Yeah, I know. She kind of gave me a little bit of shit about that. And I will get my hands on a Queen of Session style shirt because they're pretty dope, I must admit.
They are.
So you've been inducted into the idea that there is this segment we do called Pet Cemetery.
Yes, I have.
And if you
are you
have,
ready to cry?
If you,
are you ready to cry?
I am ready. I'm always ready to cry, Toby. You know that. I'm a hair's width away from bursting into tears
it's
at any given
a
moment.
Big bag
it's
of tears.
Short. It's short, but it's sad. But it's gonna make
heart,
you being like,
okay.
Just gonna get.
Don't oversell. I'm sure it speaks for itself.
Bring
okay,
the sad.
So I'm gonna play the little theme song, and then we're gonna get right to it. Okay. All right. So here we go. Pet Cemetery with Kaza Glennon here on Unfixed. Thank you so much for listening to the show.
I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery.
Okay, so my pet cemetery story is, so I had a dog called Snowy, because we got him at Christmas when I was about four maybe or something, five or four. Fast forward a few years, Snowy gets run over by a car on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
We went out. Me and my little brother got new bikes. So my mom took me and my two brothers out. And we went for a nice big walk. It was beautiful out. Just going to add to it. It was probably snowing and all, everything. You know, we had one of the big family hugs in the snow. And we were like telling each other how much we love each other. And then me and my little brother cycled off. And next thing you know, Snowy went bye-bye. And then our house burned down and everything went to shit after that because Snowy was everything. But yeah, Christmas Day, my dog died.
Shouts out to Snowy. One for me and one for Snowy. That's the second Snowy we've had that died on the show. The other one was a bunny. Bunny Boo's rabbit was named Snowy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think.
Thankfully, that's not what happened to Tintin's dog, Snowy.
Yeah, yeah, you mentioned
that. Would have been a real downer.
Okay, so Karen, Kaza, Martina, thank you so very, very much for coming on out. I really sincerely appreciate the effort. Sorry for our micro-catastrophes of the server exploding, but we managed to Geordie it back into shape, and here we are.
That's
and
right.
So I appreciate your patience, your candor. Really, a lot of fun getting to hang out with you for a little bit. Thank you for your just everything. Thanks for
thank
everything
you,
you do, Karen.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, so thanks so much. And we're going to play you out, and then I will bid you adieu because I understand you have to go pack. Are you going to go to a show, or...?
I'm going to Newcastle. Or no, not Newcastle. Where am I tomorrow? Or not tomorrow. I've worked tomorrow, and then I'm going to Edinburgh and Scotland this weekend.
Do you need a manager?
Yeah.
I know a guy named Tony Poker Chips Dorenzo. He's amazing. I'll text you his number.
Yeah, well, there's also Nina, and she doesn't do anything.
She's done a good job today,
she
though.
She does so much. Anyway, yeah, okay. All right, listen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And I shall see you not at Contenders, but I shall see you at Stranger Things.
Yes, see you at Stranger Things.
Oh, sorry, the Nina, the producer, mentioned not to forget to give you... where the hell are they? Hold on.
You took them up.
Here we go. This is a parting gift for yourself.
Oh my god, they're so cool!
Yeah, these are flashing heart. LED heart-shaped glasses.
Oh my god, I love it!
They were actually a gift to us on our little... it's called a Polterabend in Germany. It means clatter night, and you
I
break
might
plates.
Wear them out.
Yeah, you know, you wear them out, you wear them as an entrance for the rain.
Yeah, that's
you'll make
so
me
cool.
very happy.
Thanks, guys!
Okay, it was an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much, and be safe, and thanks again for coming
in. See you next time.
All right, Toby. That was Kaza Glennon, man.
Far too early. There was a lot of raving from the music, and also there was a lot of coolness from the wrestling.
Oh man, the whole thing was awesome. Really, once again, thanks so much to Kaza for coming out and rocking it. Thank you to Peter Farrell, previous guest, for sending in questions, comments, and
pithy questions.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they have a rough and tumble relationship. It would sound.
Special. Hold
on. Tell me, I'm going to do this one last drop. Hold on. Sorry, I just needed one more taste.
Yeah, no.
It's like a drug user finally quitting, and then they go back just for one more goodbye. That's my relationship to Rude.
You can't leave the club listening to that.
No, it's true. It's true. People outside are like, their keys are like, oh, god damn it. You have to go back in. All right. Thank you so much for checking out the show. And thank you for checking out the interview with Kaza Glennon, who provided a lot of shit, man. That was a really, really cool interview.
And we're all upside down now because that's at the top. And
normally.
I feel like I'm at the bottom of the show.
So we're a tiny bit funny and backwards in that regard, are we not? I do understand that. But we have obligations to other folks. We have obligations to the listeners. And this is why I freaked out earlier. But we have obligations to... We have a second guest, as we often do. Not here on Unfixed, on the show Unfixed, Toby, no.
No.
But on a separate show,
yes.
A little thing that we call Shower Talk.
Within the show.
It is a show that is played during Unfixed, because we like it, so we play it.
That's right. Our Unfixed is pregnant with this show. We never give birth because we like it too much. We just hold it in our womb.
Like Buster Bluth. Okay, so we're going to do Shower Talk, and we're going to do Shower Talk right about now. I believe the topic is actually showering rough. So any kind of time that you have to, like, shower, but you don't have an actual shower. Substitutes for shower. So, like, you don't have the hot water tank and the water pressure.
Ooh.
You're outdoors, camping, waterfalls, this kind of thing. So we're going to get into
it. Filling station shower?
So we're going to get into it. You mean like a truck stop?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'd love to hear that story. Okay, so right now we're going to get into Shower Talk, and we are going to turn the water on. And get in that hot box. Once, as you know, it's the most fun you can have in a hot box without risking an STI. It is Shower Talk. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Shower Talk, the show about showering and also thinking about showering and the things we think about showering, and then we talk about them on Shower Talk.
The distressing thing is that when I shower now, I think about what we've been talking about in
right.
Shower Talk. It's,
okay.
It upsets me that you're in my head like that in this most private of times.
wait, you feel intruded upon and violated by the fact that when you're showering, you think about me.
I think about our conversations.
Okay, I just want you think about me, and yeah. So okay, so today the topic on Shower Talk, the show within a show, the hit spin-off podcast from Unfixed Radio. The topic today is showering rough, or those things you do when you don't have access to a proper normal shower with a hot water tank and reliable water pressure. When you're out camping, when you're at a festival, when you're I don't know, man. Are there other situations in which you're not going to get a normal shower, but you need to wash your body? Can you think of other ones? Who likes to wash your body?
Sometimes you might need to use a piece of disposable cloth and a sink in a public restroom.
Right. Okay. So just you go to a sink and you lather up and kind of just like take water and splash it onto your body. Like, paint me a picture.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. The difficulty I'm going to have is that if you're going to go wash your hair, how do you get all the suds out? Like, I need a fair amount of water to get the liquid out of my hair.
But for folks who have never seen you, you've got like a Fabio-esque mane. You've got a lot going on in there, follicle-wise.
Maybe I forget about what it is, like you short-haired people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a big deal. It's an actual problem. So, okay, so in terms of showering, showering a little bit unusual kind of styles, the thing, I guess, like, I've seen people do the camping shower thing in which you take a bag and suspend it. And then that has a little like flap, and then that has a little shower head. Like, they actually sell camping showers. Yeah. And I guess over the fire, you heat the water, put it in the bag.
Or not.
Or not. And then you pour it on your body, and you rub yourself down and feel all the feelings that the company is showering. Toby, what's the most out of the way kind of thing you've ever done in terms of I don't know, washing yourself when you didn't have access to a normal shower? What's the most like rough you've ever showered? I've cleaned myself. I shit you not, this only sounds a bit exotic, but in waterfalls. I've taken a little bit of shampoo, stood under it. It was like Cocktail with Tom Cruise, if you've ever seen that film. They didn't shower. They actually had sex.
I recall a bottle of water and a sponge in Egypt one time.
Okay, so you were in the far flung the land of the pharaohs.
You wouldn't super call it clean what I was afterwards, but vaguely refreshed.
It's a spot check, right? So it's you don't get to like caress yourself or like, you know, cascade. You more so just like kind of.
You hit the danger zones.
Exactly. So the red areas, if you will. So not the yellow and red is where you actually focus all your attention on. Yeah, long-time listeners of Shower Talk will understand that reference. So, okay, we have a guest for Shower Talk, this as we always do, and we're going all the way down to South Africa.
Yeah.
And we have Aisling Dower on the horn here. Aisling, can you hear us?
The mother of bats.
Aisling, are you there? Okay, she can hear us, and she's here. Aisling, thanks so much for being on Shower Talk, the hit spin-off podcast from Unfixed Radio, thinking and talking about showering. So, you know, you live down in South Africa, and you've been to Kruger a bunch, and you know, you're an outdoorsy girl. You're not a foo-foo girl. You can take it. You know, you wear athletic shoes, things like that. So, can you tell us any experiences you have of unconventional attempts at showering when you didn't have access to, you know, modern plumbing facilities?
Well, generally, there's generally been plumbing facilities, but the showers aren't always hot, let's say.
Okay.
Or else there's just no plumbing at all, and then you're washing in a river.
Right, okay. So you go into the river.
I've never really used a bag slung over a branch of a tree type shower.
But you understand, you've heard of this, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of the concept, of the idea, and that people live
there's
camping showers.
Oh, yeah, no, I have.
Yeah, but I've never seen one either.
I
saw it one time on Survivor, and that was pretty cool. And then the person won an SUV as well.
Alan has used one of those showers. And
okay.
One of the places.
Yeah, and you mentioned that he kind of wanted to hop on as well. So we've got Aisling, and we've also got her partner, Alan. Is it okay if I call him your fiancé, Aisling?
Sure.
I just did it.
Sure.
I did it anyway.
Real.
Okay, and he was going to pop on and maybe give us a little insight into showering in the weird, as I've been calling it. Did you want to throw him on the horn or what?
We're on speakerphone.
Oh, he's here. Alan, so you're here with us, correct?
Yeah, it's awesome. How are you?
Wicked. We're doing great. Thank you so much for being on Shower Talk, the spin-off podcast from Unfixed, the runaway hit. And any insight into kind of weirdo showers, unconventional showering techniques? Aisling apparently goes into a river with a bottle of Pert shampoo. And just goes to work.
And elephants.
Yeah, and the thing I don't understand about going into water, say you have to, like, you know, wash the downstairs bits. Like, how do you get the soap down there? Wouldn't it be washed away because you're presumably, you know, up to your armpits in water or something? How do you get the soap, and how do you know it's clean? And is river water ever really clean?
toes upstream all the time.
Maybe
toes
just upstream. Going up to your knees, yeah. And do the naughty bits and then head in.
I'm not sure, Adam. Did you never have a bath before?
I've actually never had a bath. That's right.
Oh my goodness.
I've only showered. What's it like? What is bathing like?
It's the controversy of shower talk.
That's the secret.
This is we have a shower racist here.
Wow. Yeah. So okay. So you guys, any odd experiences out there in the field? Washing yourself with bottled water and hand soap, anything like that?
I once went on a hike and I didn't shower for 6 days because it was horrendous.
Wow. How did that go? Like, did you lose friends or?
No, there was three of us. There were three of us. And when we eventually got into the car afterwards, you're like, what is this smell?
We're horrible. And in situations like that, yeah, it opens up your eyes to the power of showering, the importance of showering.
You're going to ask yourselves, why did we even go on this hike?
Right. Toby, you were mentioning truck stop showers. Have you ever actually done it? Public showering.
No, not sort of completely. I have done the sort of like, you know, face and shoulders and neck, but I haven't gone so really up into the armpits or any of the real serious shower destinations.
Right. Okay.
But I have heard about a lot of sort of, you know, sort of stinking hippies that have.
Okay. Ashley, I'm sorry. What were you going to say there?
It sounds like your average shower in a mine camp in remote areas.
Okay. So mining showers. Yeah.
They're common ablutions with
all right, okay. It's the great leveler showering. There or the lack thereof. There's no.
It sure is, yeah.
I shower as well as do kings, Toby.
When you find yourself perched on the edge of the shower tray when the water is rising up around your ankles.
Yikes.
And, you know, the deepest, darkest place, there's like this gray scum.
Right.
And, you know. It's not a good shower.
No, that is a sign of not the highest quality facility.
Oh my God, this is what we came for. This is the kind of story we came for.
It is. And we mined the depths and we found the treasures. Okay, we got to keep moving because the show is a bit compressed. And thanks so much for taking time to be a guest here on Shower Talk, the show about showering.
The shower where everybody who is dirty is a winner.
Okay. Thanks, guys. And you guys take care, okay?
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Happy
Oops. shut that call
Happy
up.
Happy bloop.
Tiny bit premature.
That's how a lot of my conversations to my parents end up, actually.
He's like, okay, and honey, don't forget that we sent you... Gun over, you're gone, and that's it. Okay, and shower talk out, Toby. Happy shower, and shower well in the future, okay?
Yeah, have a great new shower.
Nice. Okay, so we've got so much more show to get through, like as if it's a chore. No, Toby, it is a pleasure and a joy to be here with you and to be doing Unfixed. What do you think about doing the Southeast Ireland update?
Yeah, we could do that because we're losing a bit of the light now.
It's true. And, moment to throw
because we're doing this out in a field in nature.
When we say the abandoned bar, it's been abandoned since like the Stone Ages. It's like it has like what is that Ogram script or whatever.
That's right. So no wonder the sound card failed. The sound card is at least 2,000 years
old. It's made of sticks and bronze. absolutely. So okay, I think we're gonna do the Southeast Ireland update and. I think we're going to do it in right away. Does that sound appropriate?
Bust it.
Okay, so here we go. We're going to do the Southeast Ireland update. Just to keep you up to date on everything that's happening in the southeast of Ireland. So, my friends, I have in my hands the latest issue of the... Toby, could you whack on a lamp? Because it's really getting dark.
Yeah,
I can't, I'm trying
me,
to read this. Yeah, go throw the one on over top the cooler. Okay, so Toby... Right now, the story I bring to you today is that bikers have been terrorized on the Wicklow Gap, if you can believe that, right? So motorcyclists who frequent the Wicklow Gap are being vigilant after a recent emergence of a man terrorizing bikers by trying to run them off the road, Toby. Through his identity, though his identity is unknown, many bikers are aware that of the individuals and they know who this guy is. And you don't want to piss off bikers, in my understanding and experience. I don't think it's wise. Because they're tough. That's right. Haven't you ever seen Sons of Anarchy? Nothing's tougher than that guy who played King Arthur lately with no shirt on for some reason.
That's not how I remember Sons of Anarchy. They're being tough.
No, they wasn't. They were all really sensitive, actually. Okay. So, all right. They're aware who he is. I love that break. So he is now said to be active again after a period of inactivity. So, and it's another way of putting he's back. So the man who drives a silver Leon is said to park on the side of the road and will chase bikes that drive past. Okay, he's like a dog, and then somebody whizzes by him and he fires up his little pissy ass seat Leon and chases them down and intimidates them. Toby,
how does he chase them down? What kind of motorcycle?
I know, right? Yeah, right. They have electric bicycles for reals. Okay, so all right, he chases bikes that drive past. Or will pull out and drive straight at oncoming bikes. Can you believe this shit?
Wow.
Swerving across the road. On the biker forum, biker.ie, a motorcyclist says they were overtaking three cars in the area on the 5th of May. And the car in front was the seat Leon, which they say began swerving from side to side on both sides of the road, blocking them off. Motorcyclists claim the individual has been menacing them on and off for the last few years. It's only a matter of time, they say, before there's a serious incident and someone is killed. Any thoughts on that?
But why would that's not a good car?
No. So there's some psychopath out in the Wicklow area. This is actually in Wicklow Gap, terrorizing bikes. And apparently, like, there's a picture of the goddamn car here in the newspaper, man. So, like, why in the hell aren't the cops just going, like, saying, okay, well, what's the license plate number? Going to the guy's house.
Wiggling in front of bikes? They yeah, are.
Maybe. Fair point. But additionally, like, does no one have a helmet cam? You know, everyone has GoPros on goddamn everything now. You can go on YouTube and see Dublin cyclists getting screwed over by drivers, yeah, and they name and shame them. So why these guys aren't doing the same thing, I'm not 100% sure, but sure, it doesn't seem like
careful.
A hard...
He's looking out for the little bob on the top of the helmet.
Wait, if you have that, so yeah, just put take a little jewelry box or something and tape it to the top of your motorcycle helmet.
That's right.
you'll be fine.
Tape a box of matches to the top of your helmet.
Oh, sure, you'll be grand. So yeah, that's the Southeast Ireland update. That's what's going on down there. All right, so Toby, I would like to get into the thing that we call the dark history. It's about mariners.
Yeah, it's a sort of bit of a story that I was sort of poking around looking for something to talk about, uh-huh. And it's something from the end of the
days
Second World War.
Okay,
actually, so you know, Second World War, everyone's ears perk up because you know we've got our favorite bad guys from history.
Sure.
Nazis. And so it was right near the end of the war, actually. It's right in 1945, and there was this particular German submarine called the U-1206. That was his name.
That's the catchiest name they could come up with.
Yeah, no, it's sort of not so terrifying, but, you know, Winston Churchill said that you know, the one thing that he was afraid of during the Second World War was the submarine sort of menace, because they couldn't really strike back at them.
They're underwater.
Well, certain technological advantages that the German submarines
the technological
had.
Advances of being underwater.
Being underwater, and also they're a bit different because, you know, they're a bit different to the English submarines and other submarines at the time in that they saved space by...
They're German.
Having fewer toilets and not having anywhere where the sort of waste would collect.
Yeah.
And so they're also...
Does that have something to do with where the story is headed?
Oh yeah! Wow. This is where we're okay. going. So what that meant was when the submarine was under the water, you couldn't actually use the toilets, mm-hmm. because there was nowhere to store the sort of stuff.
You can't flush it because like there's so much pressure underwater that it would be reverse. I think.
That's right. There's a certain amount of pressure, but So what we have is a late German submarine, and we're talking about all these sort of like Nazi super weapons and the V2, and this is like 1945. Yeah. It's all but over, uh-huh. And this last submarine gets launched, and you know its super weapon is?
Tell me.
A toilet that can eject the feces at high pressure.
No.
These toilets are highly complicated, though. So there's actually not enough time to train everybody on board how to use the toilets.
Okay.
And so they have special guys on board, and they call them the flushing specialists. So there's like five of them on board. And so you have to be able to know how to use the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And so about a week into this cruise, they're off the coast of Scotland, because, you know, all of that area is really kind of important for the submarine warfare during the Second World War. And the captain of this submarine, the U-1206,
right.
And I fucking kid you not, this guy's name is Captain Carl Adolf Schitt.
Spell it.
S-C-H-I-T-T.
Oh my! Is that what? You know, supposedly the guy that invented the toilet's name was John Crapper. So is it backwards and that like the word crap came from his name? Is that why we say the word shit? Because the Germans say Scheiß or Scheiße.
I don't know. We might have to push into history
next
to
time.
Sort of figure that one out. Next one, but you know, they were quite deep because they were avoiding other you know, enemy sort of shipping.
Right.
And so they're about 200 feet deep. And it says here 8 miles off of the coast of Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh shit! I need to get back to the con. I need to command my ship.
He's Austrian, just for the record.
Doing Arnold Schwarzenegger. Here. Yeah. But he didn't have time, or he decided he didn't have time to do it. So he thought he'd operate the flush. Unfortunately, the flush didn't work, and it started to leak. And so he was like, "Oh crap! I'm gonna have to go." And he got one of the special specialists to help him. But it was too late. The specialist couldn't help him.
Okay.
And sadly, in there trying to jimmy it to fire the thing off, the whole submarine started leaking, and all of this water started coming into the submarine.
Yeah, was that through the toilet?
Through the toilet,
oh,
and
no.
It starts to flood. And
it's really...
and you'd be able to deal with that because
no,
they could sort
no,
of
I
shut.
Would not.
They'd be able to shut that off.
No,
normally.
But I would not be able to deal with that.
But it flooded into all of the batteries that they used to run the submarine, and the batteries, you know, use this hydrochloric acid, and the water going into that turned into chlorine gas. So the Nazis essentially gassed themselves
from the failed
toilet. They had to rise up to the surface.
That's amazing.
And as soon as they got to the surface, because they were in contact with the enemy, they were immediately attacked and bombed, and they had to abandon ship.
Right.
And the U-1206 was sunk. And
wow.
So in a way, these guys, this is right at the end of the war, so these guys, two people died in action, so all the people from that submarine survived the war. And so,
okay.
In some ways,
that was a good thing.
This failing toilet managed to get them through the war there at the end, because only a week after this happens, Hitler ends up being caught in the Kaiser Führer bunker and ends his life, and that's the end of the Second World War.
Good job, Toby. That was really good. Whatever you had, and I nixed it because it's insensitive, but it could not have been better than that.
That was a good one. I was really pleased to find that.
Well. Goddamn done. Hey, dude, do you want to get the hell out of the studio and go for a brief walk? Now, you live in Newcastle,
right.
So you
didn't
go for a walk. You went for a flight, and so we can't actually do going for a walk
no.
right now. And Andy and I want to do it. And actually, Pierre is going to get in on going for a walk. He wants to be, you know, my partner in crime as we go out there with a micro recorder and harass people. Nina was my wing person,
wow,
the producer. And we went out and we played some croquet. And Newcastle, because that's actually how I met my wife, is with the Croquet Society at Trinity. I know it sounds very hoity-toity, but man, croquet is super fun. I don't know if you've ever played it, but it's basically like shooting pool on a field on which you can walk.
No,
but
that sounds brilliant.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
So I bring the punk rock element to the croquet world. I got a lot of looks. Anyway, I'm supposed to be wearing all white. I have like a maiden shirt on. Anyway, so we went for a walk, and okay, so here's just some background information so this makes sense. When I was at Trinity, there was no trophy for what's called golf croquet, which is a more basic form of croquet than the alternative, which is association. So I decided to buy a trophy. And because I'm a jerk, I had it engraved, the Jensen Cup. And I gave it to the winner of the golf tournament because it didn't have a thing. And my friend Andre, I think you know Andre, he goes, oh my God, it's that easy, isn't it? You just buy a thing and all of a sudden it's like, you know, this really like, you know, something's named after you now because you bought this dicking little cup. And it wasn't very big, and dude brings it up. And anything else? I don't believe so. Yeah, I bought that thing. There's some other background. But I can't remember. Anyway, let's go for a walk. This is where we take the show out of the studio. We take it to the people. We take the show to them, and we kind of flip the script, and we went for a walk. It was pretty fun. Let's check it out.
I'm going for a walk.
I am out doing the Going for a Walk segment. I'm here with the producer, actually, with producer Nina.
Hi.
Yeah, and we're out here at, where are we? We're at Newbridge House,
yes.
where they're unveiling a new croquet pitch. There's a brand new croquet lawn. I'm sorry, so it's a croquet lawn. You were just a moment ago. Sorry, I'm here with...
Jack Clark.
How are we doing today?
Very well.
Excellent. And also Jenny's here.
Hello there.
Sorry, and who else?
I'm
And Anna's also here. So it's a breezy and misty kind of a little bit overcast, but it could have been worse. And Irish weather indeed. You were just explaining the history of this recently refurbished croquet lawn, correct?
Yeah, so there was actually a lawn here about 100 years ago. And the greatest croquet player of the time, Cyril Corballis, lived in Newbridge House and played on the lawn.
Right.
So it's been in disrepair for about 100 years, and they've just flattened and mowed the lawn for this.
Okay. The fellow you mentioned that used to play here, the legendary player.
Cyril Corballis.
What's his like achievement? Why is he famous?
I guess he won all of the croquet things.
Okay. All right. So wait, because I used to be the secretary of the croquet club at Trinity, as you're aware.
I was the secretary there myself. Actually.
Founder of the you were the secretary.
Followed in your footsteps.
What did you pick up from what did you learn from me in office that you emulated that you used to better?
The glory of really small trophies.
Yes, okay. Yeah. It's not that small.
It was tiny. We used it as an egg cup.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. They use the Johnson cup as an egg cup, Nina.
That's fantastic.
It is. We like our egg cups. We're actually just shopping for egg cups.
I don't like eggs.
Really?
Right. Jenny used it as an egg cup.
Oh, wow. Jenny, honestly, though, as an egg cup, how well did it function?
Well, you need quite big eggs, actually, like duck eggs.
I thought, because it's a big cup.
It is.
It's gigantic. Okay, hold on. So wait, you've been doing croquet for a long time, right?
Yeah, about 10 years.
And yeah, what's the most ambitious thing you've ever done? You went and played tournaments abroad and things.
Yeah, I've played world championships in Cairo and Johannesburg.
Ooh, Joburg.
Yep. All the dangerous places. Yeah.
Libya.
Not yet. Next world champs in Tripoli, but.
Right. Yeah, and so how what was your best ranking? Like, what's the best you've ever...
Came fifth at the World Championships.
Which one?
That was the
Syria.
One in Cairo in 2012. And won a couple of Irish Championships.
Nice. Right. And you used to know Conor Broderick.
Yes.
He was my Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
If people want to get involved in the croquet world and play a bit of croquet, how would they get started? What do you think is the best way to go and shoot, even just a casual game or play at all?
There's a new club forming here, and you can come and join, or there'll be open days. You can come and play and walk around Newbridge House, which is lovely.
Open days are coming up. I think I should ask Simon about this.
Absolutely.
Wait, you think you won the tournament today?
I think so. I won all the matches. So.
Like, how are you ranked in Ireland?
So I'm the number one golf croquet player.
Wow, and I was like, why did you crush me?
That might have been a factor.
Okay, right now we are just walking to the main hall where there will be an award ceremony. So, all right.
The Cyril Corbally Cup will start, that's the big one there, was donated by Nathaniel Healy. So, and this was for our golf croquet singles this weekend, which was won, fittingly enough and unsurprisingly enough, by the Irish Golf Croquet Champion, who is Jack Clegg.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Not so good cricket.
A few words of thanks just to everybody who made this possible. It's a pleasure being out here. It's wonderful to see the lawn being used again. There's some great croquet being played out there, and lots of people playing for the first time as well. So long may it continue.
Thank you.
All right. It's been a great day hanging out here at Newbridge House with the croquet again. It's good to play croquet again. And thanks for going for a walk with me, Nina. Come on.
I'm going for a walk.
All right. Yeah, that's the only thing I forgot. I knew I wanted to mention something else, and that is that we played, he and I, Jack, the guy who won the tournament, who's also the number one ranked golf croquet player in Ireland. We and I shot around, and I was heavily handicapped, and he destroyed me, and I have not played in 7 years, and he just crushed me, and I was like, I suck. And that's when I said, like, how are you ranked? He's like, one. I'm like, well, that now it makes a little more sense that you wiped.
Yeah, but the real winner on the day was croquet.
Yeah, it was. It was actually bitching. I recommend anybody who's never tried it. It's not an easy sport to just kind of waltz into. But it can be done. You know, check out Newbridge House. They've got days. So yeah, man. We've been going on. We've been on the air for some time. And you know how we do. We're gonna have to wind it down. And I think the normal approach we take is to bring people information regarding things that are a tiny bit. Oh, I don't know. How to put this? Help me out.
I'm worrying.
Yes, a little. Yeah, stuff that makes you feel really cozy. Not that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just in case people thought that the world was fucking regular and normal and expectable. No!
In case you feel that way about things, then we are here to change your attitude. And we're here to bring you something we call...
The Scary News.
Do it again.
We're here to bring you something that is referred to as...
The Scary News.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I nailed it. Twice.
That's what it's time for.
So, we are bringing you the scary news. And this is the scary news for, what, May 25th?
Yeah.
Thanks.
2017.
2000 and... Remember we used to be able to say 2001666.
Oh, that was
we can't do that anymore.
No.
You know what? Actually, the number of the beast is actually 777. Look it up. Right, bring that for the dark history next time, huh?
I thought 666 was some kind of a numerical sort of interpretation of Nero's name.
You know, I don't know. You're so much better at knowing stuff than I am. But let's do the scary news here. Portland, Maine. There's a foul smell wafting through Maine's largest city, Portland, Maine.
Brewing.
It's wafting, and it's a foul smell. Police say a truck carrying chicken pots malfunctioned, spilling gallons of poultry bits onto a Portland street early Tuesday. Residents dealt with the foul smell from the area, and motorists drove through the spill site before it was cleared. Police closed off the roadway and covered the messy spill with sawdust. That's the best equipment they have. That's what you do at an amusement park when someone pukes.
Can they fucking hose it down or something? Jesus.
Police say the pots were not hazardous.
The foul smell? I see what you did there.
On May 22nd in Tennessee, this is very U.S.-centric scary news, a Tennessee man driving home from a barbecue festival in Memphis was pulled over on the interstate by an officer who spotted a man sleeping on the car's trunk or boot, as you would say here in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Webb said he and his wife left Barbecue Fest in downtown Memphis Thursday night without looking at the rear of their vehicle because they had backed into the parking space. Webb said he was on the interstate before a Memphis police officer pulled him over. The officer came up and said, "Mister, are you aware there's a body on your trunk?" And that
a
did not
body?
A body? "Mister, are you aware there's a body on your trunk?"
That's
And that did not register. He goes, "Mister, I'm not messing with you. There's a body on your damn trunk." So I got
that out. Does not register, sir.
We walked around and sure enough, goddamn, there was still hanging on, still unconscious, just lying there, got on my trunk, Webb told WHBQ TV. Webb said he had driven about 14 miles, which is the equivalent of what? about 30 kilometers, with the sleeping passenger curled up on his 14-inch wide boot trunk. "I have no explanation other than that. Little lip right there saved his life." Apparently he may have... What the... Oh, I'm getting a Skype call.
Who is this at this point?
It's a credit card company that's angry at me. You want to talk about scary... I'm actually in the process of transferring all my credit card balances onto one with APR, zero APR and balance transfers.
Zero APR.
So the companies that aren't getting paid are hunting me down, and they're out for my blood. Webb said that he had driven about 14 miles with a sleeping passenger curled up on his 14-inch wide truck with a lip. He said the officer woke the sleeping man, who appeared disoriented and nearly wandered out into traffic. "I hope he takes a good look at where he put himself and the hazard that he had opened up to himself. It would have been death," Webb said.
Did you say it was a truck or a car?
It's a car. So the guy, fine. I saw photos. The guy was laying, on a normal car, 14 inches wide. Dude laid down on the back like all little curled up drunk, sleeping. And then the guy drove for, what, 14 miles.
But the guy who drove, he must have been a smooth
the highway.
Driver.
And he's like, I have no idea. He's like, there's a little ridge. It just so happened. Yeah. He got taken away in a police cruiser.
So the moral to that story is,
don't go to sleep on cars. They may drive away.
Car? Drive.
Don't car drive drunk barbecue fest. We take you now to South Ithaca. Again.
Back?
Yeah, we go back to South Ithaca. A golfer playing a course in South Africa had to stop with her party when the 14th hole turned out to be occupied by two venomous snakes doing battle. Carrots, haranara.
Were those the black mambas?
They were mambas, Toby. Good
instinct. I saw a video of this on the internet.
Oh, no. Okay, so the scary news. You're finding out my sources.
It's the popular scary news now.
It's always... Kara Terran, who captured footage posted to YouTube by Kruger Sightings, said she and her party stopped on the 14th hole at the Leopard Creek Golf Course just outside of Kruger when they spotted the two mambas battling in the manicured grass. That's a nice sentence. Terran Kara said she alerted golfers in other parties to come watch the snake fight. And even called her husband to bring their son to watch. That's her instincts. You were talking about, you know, let's all watch things fight.
Yeah.
Here it is. It was amazing.
Mambas battling in the manicured grass.
It was amazing to watch. I can't do a good South African. It was amazing to watch and seemed to go on for ages, she wrote. We debated about, I can't do it. About carrying on playing the hole. But after a little while longer, we decided to drive past him in a wide berth and go on to the next hole. Thanks, that's my South African. I just wish I would have had a better camera with me, she said.
It seems someone did have a better camera, because you can see these on the episode notes.
I think it's in the show notes, which we don't have. We're about to stomp, because I know you're getting a little bit too shaky. We take you to Ohio, which is kind of scary in and of itself. Why are we in Ohio? Police in suburban Cleveland say a half-naked man intentionally crashed his car into a closed convenience store off-license newsagent to get beer, injuring himself and a store employee. Half-naked. Rocky River police say the 45-year-old driver was wearing nothing from the waist down when he crashed through a store wall early Sunday and told the worker he needed beer.
That's the scariest news ever. It's...
Police said the man barricaded himself in a beer cooler and told police to shoot him, but they subdued him with a stun device. They tased him, bro.
Had he not been given beer, is that why he was so upset?
He went into the beer cooler. I think he's just fine on the beer front.
Right, right.
He just needs to hit. Can I get a bottle opener or police to shoot me?
Shoot the top off the beer.
The driver was like Homer Simpson did that one time. The driver Simpson was taken to a hospital, as was the store employee, who suffered leg and chest injuries that weren't considered critical. The driver has been charged with impaired driving. That's it. A DUI. That's all you get for that.
There's no charge for profound idiocy.
Police say the worker was fortunate that a deli counter was between him and the car, preventing more serious injuries. The deli counter was the real hero that day.
He's been given a medal.
Okay, so that is the scary news. You are now up to date on all things frightening. Okay, all right, so we are almost done. That is all the scary news you need for, but we've got one more thing. We've got our friend on the line.
It's so scary, we almost
forgot to call Andrea. Yeah. And let's call Andrea. She's
been
got an
waiting for a long time.
She's a patient young woman. And let's give her a call. We've got Andrea Lorien coming in, and she is going to do her bit. And there you go. All right, so let's give Andrea a call, and then we will wrap this shit up. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, here is Andrea Lorien. Andrea.
Adam.
Hey, how you doing? All right. So we are calling you in order to do the 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien segment, in which you give us full force Andrea Lorien intellect. And we give you a topic and you just crush us with it, with the thoughts you have, right?
Yes.
So last time we talked to you, you had decided that you were going to talk to 30 men in 30 days and try to find a date.
Well... That was the plan, at least.
That was the plan. And so now I'd like to see if we could maybe do a 90 seconds just based on your experience and maybe some insight you've gathered based on your inquest.
All right. I'm into it. I'll tell you what I know.
All right. Okay, great. All right. So
fucking rock and roll. All right, all right. Do your dance. Do your dance. Do your dance. Quick, mama. Come on, baby. Tell me what's the word. A word up. Everybody say. When you hear the call, you got to get it under white. Word up.
Okay, so here's the thing. Dating in my city fucking sucks. Like, that's all it comes down to. Like, it sucks. It's a very... I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the United States, and it is not very big. Adam can attest to that. It's only, like, 300,000 people or something. Only 300,000 people. I mean, I grew up in a town of, like, less than 10,000 people. So in comparison, like, Pittsburgh's, like, the big city. But let me tell you, Pittsburgh's really tiny. One of the things Adam taught me when we were in college together, that was 10 years ago, when I was just a little baby. I was, like, 21 years old, and I'm like, man, I should date. And Adam's like, here's the thing about Pittsburgh. Everybody mates for life because nobody wants to be single in the city because it sucks to be single because there is no one to date. And you know what? He is right. Adam is 100% right. I know so many people who are in shitty relationships just because they don't want to be single in Pittsburgh. It's that bad. Or they are weird. There's a lot of fucking weirdos. Like, I mean, we're talking like mama's basement, mullet wearing, Cheeto crustiness. It's nasty. It's nasty. And like, I mean, am I the hottest being in the world? No, but I'm definitely above, like, Cheeto McCrusty face. So, like, why is it, like, it's like there's three levels in Pittsburgh. It's like, you have Cheeto McCrusty faces, and they're at the bottom, and they make up the majority. You have at the very top, like, super hot guys who, like, just moved to town. You know, those are the ones that are, like, on OkCupid for a second, and then they, like, find someone. And then in the middle, like, that's where I am, and that's where I should be, and it's like, those are, like, normal guys who, like, got out of a normal relationship, but, like, they're so elusive, and all you keep finding are the cheesy McCrusty faces. It's really hard out there for a girl, especially, like, when you're, I'm over 30, and cliche.
Tell you when it's time to go, it's time to go with
yeah,
Andrea.
Yeah, to all you cheesy McCrusty faces out there, Andrea is not on the market.
Step off. Yeah, shop elsewhere. This store is closed. Business hours are over, baby. All right.
Like, maybe just move out of Pittsburgh altogether.
You know, I did. Oh, no. And look at me.
Look at you. You're doing fantastically.
I found Nina. I think I'm doing okay.
That's what I was saying. Toast to the producer.
Thanks. Yeah, to the producer. To the producer. All right. So anybody can hear me saying these words right now to you, I sincerely thank you. Thank you so much for taking time to listen to what we do. I really, 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 really do appreciate it. Thanks to Kaza Glennon. Thank you to Toby for flying over from Newcastle just to do the show.
Thanks to the sound card for the excitement.
Yeah, it was honestly, it was like an episode of TNG, though. It really was. It was Captain, you know, on the next orbit, we're going to collide with the other. And just, I got my shit together.
Do you have a spare laptop?
Yeah, yeah.
I need to install the driver.
Yeah. And I'm going to be able to tear apart the server and figure out what's going on in there in due time. So honestly, to everyone who can hear me right now, thank you so much for being a part of what we do. And thanks to everyone who wrote in, and thank you to Okaza for coming around and talking about what she does, and thanks, really.
Yeah, thanks everybody. Great to be back for one show.
I don't like the way you say that. What do you mean? Is this a one-off?
No, occasionally I'll be back. I can't be back every month. What are we talking about?
And yeah, we found Andy Dufresne, who was able to sit in for you, and he did a pretty good job. What'd you think?
You did all of the gags about Dufresne, and
I did. I brought in
Right. Okay.
His name is not really Andrew Dufresne. It's Andrew McAnuff.
Angry Dufresne.
Angry. His name's Angry Dufresne. I have been topped out. This is Adam Jensen, and I'm here with none other than
Crutch First Toby Hallam.
And that has been Unfixed, and thanks so much for listening to the show. And take care of yourselves and everyone you care about. Bye.